Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So own it, number four. Everyone say own it. You can do better than that. Say own it. All right, own it. What are we going to own today? We're going to own the gospel of good news. The gospel of good news. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Is there anybody here that is ashamed of the gospel? Is there anyone here that is not ashamed of the gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then the Gentile, for in the gospel, everyone say the gospel. Everyone say own it. What are you going to own? The gospel. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by. Are there any righteous ones in the house today? All right, if you're righteous, how are we to live? By faith. In essence, the term gospel simply means good news. Praise God. How many of you are in for some good news? I don't know about you. I love the good news of the gospel. How many of you can remember getting saved? Give me a wave if you can remember when you got saved. When you gave your heart to Jesus, when you stepped across the line, did you receive good news? What did you receive? Was it the gospel that transformed your life? Was it the power of the word of God that transformed your life? You know, sometimes I talk to people and it's like, yeah, I'm saved. And I'm like, you're saved. And I was like, yeah, I'm saved. Like I remember I think I'm saved. It's like, friends, can I encourage you? If you're saved, then look like you got saved. As in, it's really hard to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, some people are like, I'm saved. No, you can't be like, I'm saved. If you're saved, look like you're saved. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We are not the lemon suckers of the universe, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, what happened to you? Look like you've been sucking lemons all day. I got saved. No. When you get saved, when the power of God is at work within you, how many of you know when that power is at work, there is joy, there is peace, there is life, there is light, there is hope, there is a future, there is a glory and the wonder and the splendor of God. I got saved. All right, you know what I'm talking about. It's the good news that saves us. In essence, the term gospel simply means good news. The good news of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is not like the power of God. It is the power of God. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation. Regardless of background, regardless of gender, nationality, education, height, weight, what you have done or what you haven't done, the good news, the gospel, reveals a righteousness that is from God. This righteousness is not of your own. You cannot create this, make this. You can't put this together. You can't buy it on the internet. www.righteous.com. No righteous.com. Unrighteous.com. You got to go to Jesus. This power, this gospel, this good news, it reveals a righteousness that is from God that has the power to save, the power to set free, the power to heal, the power to redeem, and the power to make whole. Praise God. How many of you are glad you bought into this righteousness today? Because you bought into Jesus. All right. The gospel redeems our lives from the pit. All right. Anybody in the house today? The gospel redeems our life. How many of you remember what it was like when you lived in the pit? I remember what it was like when I lived in the pit. I remember what it was like to wake up in my own vomit. I remember what it was like to wake up in my friend's vomit. How many of you know that's the pits? And it's like we go from week to week to week to week. Some of it is in the natural. Some of it is like, it may not be in the natural, but you know what I'm talking about. Where you're waking up day after day after day and you feel like you're in the pit. But Jesus comes along and he reaches down to us and he lifts us out of the miry clay and he places us upon solid rock. He puts a crown of love on us, crowns us with love and compassion. He sets the captives free. How many of you know this gospel, it sets the captives free? How many of you know what it's like to be in captivity? I'm not talking about how many of you have been to Port Phillip. That's another captivity. But how many of you know what it's like to be in Port Phillip in here? Where you're in a place where you can't break out, where I feel like I'm trapped, where I feel like I'm ensnared, where it feels like I'm in this place and I'm believing for a better life, but I can't ever get out of here. But how many of you know Jesus comes to set you free? He comes to set you free. This is the gospel. The gospel frees us. It opens the eyes of the blind. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I was blind. I didn't know Jesus. I went to church. I was in church. I grew up in church, around church. There was Jesus freaks everywhere, but I couldn't see Jesus for myself. But one day, he opened my eyes. Praise God. He opened my eyes. I heard the gospel, and in an instant, I could see. He brings the life. He brings life to the dead and the lost back home. How many of you are believing for some lost to come back home? How many of you got some relatives, some friends, some work colleagues that you are so desperately believing are going to get saved, going to make a decision for Christ? It is a power of the gospel that is able to snatch them from the power, from the flames of hell. It is only the power of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who would believe. But friends, I want to say to you today, you've got to own it. Everyone say, own it. For the power of God to be at work in you, you've got to own this thing. We're not playing games. This is not like, this ain't play school here. You've got to own the gospel. If we believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, laid down his life, died on a cross, paid for our sin, then we need to own this gospel. Everyone say, own it. Amen. Got to own it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. This same good news, the gospel, that came to you is going out all over the world. How many of you know that is the truth? I was in Japan the week before last, and just to see what's happening in our little space in Osaka, as people are coming to Jesus and lives are being changed. I got to tell you, but this is not just happening in Osaka or Grand Junction or Hobart or around Victoria and Enjoy Church. This same gospel, it is being preached in church after church after church, nation after nation after nation, and lives are being changed all over the world. Man, we should give God praise just for that right now. Come on. Come on, give God praise if you're excited about the fact that lives are being changed all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere, just as it changed your life. Has the gospel changed your life? All right, I'm asking, has the gospel changed your life? It has, all right. Just as it changed your life, your lives, just as it changed yours, that very first day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners. You need to hear it and understand it. Many of us probably heard it but never heard it, didn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Many of us heard it. I grew up in the church, heard it, but then one day I heard it. How many of you know God wants you to hear it and understand it? Because when that happens, everything's about to change. Excuse me, I remember when Scott Garrett and I used to drive around the western suburbs. We were looking for the building that we believed that God was going to provide for us. Like, God was going to provide for us a building. It's like we're driving around looking for the building. Like, the building is just going to fall out of the sky and God is going to provide a building. How many of you know God causes buildings to fall out of the sky? Anybody believe that? How many of you have read the book of Revelation? How many of you know there's a new Jerusalem coming, falling out of the sky? Here it is, it's coming. It's like we read that, it's like, oh, what a nice nursery rhyme. No, there is a new Jerusalem coming, praise God. There is a new Jerusalem. And when you hear something from God and you get it in your spirit, understand it's coming your way. We believe that God was going to provide a building for us. So we started driving around every Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock, driving around. We're driving around the western suburbs, and you know what? I can't help but wonder how many times we got so close and yet we were so far. How many times we drove past the end of this street but didn't realize it was in the street. How many times we came through sunshine not realizing we were going to be in sunshine. I can't help but wonder how many times we were just that close but were really so far away. We couldn't see it and we didn't know it, but God was preparing a place for us. Then one day, standing in a half-built building on the other side of the train tracks just over here, we all know where the train goes through, just over here. On the other side of the train tracks, there's a building being built. That's Monday morning. I go out there. I'm standing in this building and I'm praying to the Lord. I'm seeking God, saying, God, where is our building? How many of you know it's all right to get a bit in the presence of God? If you're believing for it, don't be like, oh, Jesus, if you're listening, your Bible says that we'll have life and have it like half full, a little bit fuller. It's like, no. When you come before the throne of grace, come boldly into the presence of God, knowing that Jesus has already made the way. And now we're to come in boldly, knowing that we are children of God, making our requests known to God. I'm standing over there in that building saying, Lord, where is our building? I've been driving now for 8-9 months, Lord. Where is our building? Then I remembered, as I'm having this dialogue with the Lord, I just remembered hearing a conversation the previous Friday. And in that conversation, some of the brothers were talking about an Arabic businessman who is building a building for the glory of God. I'm like, whatever. As if, whereabouts are Arabic speaking people, just out of curiosity? Anabahabukum, Kalukum. I love you too. Praise God. So, here's the deal. So, I'm hearing this, that we are now, this Arabic businessman is building a building for the glory of God. On Friday, I'm like, whatever. But when I'm standing in that building over there and I remember that conversation, I heard it. Previous Friday, I only heard it, didn't hear it. On Monday, I'm in the presence of God. Where is my building, Lord? And I heard it. Oh, all right. I heard it and I understood God's doing something. So I make the call. How many of you know the righteous are going to live by what? Faith. How many of you know you got to make the call. When you sense the stirring, when you sense God moving, when you sense God is in something, don't just sit there and go, oh, could it really be? No. When you sense it's God, you got to get up, make the call. Long story short, I made the call. One thing led to another. And 2 days later, I'm walking around building 2 across that car park with Sam Taban, the Arabic businessman, my Palestinian brother from another mother. He's like that tall. I'm like that tall. He's really, really, we're just different. How many of you know Sam and I are like chalk and cheese, no doubt about it. He's from Palestine. He grew up as a little kid. He's selling little lollies and giving away little lollies to people in Palestine. He then comes to Australia and he's selling lots of chocolates and lots of lollies to everybody. And he's doing what he's doing as a result of his business. He's able to build this facility and he builds a building over there for the glory of God. 2 days after I heard it, I'm then walking through that building over there. I meet Sam Taban for the first time. I'm walking through, I've got tears streaming down my face as I realize I heard it, I understood it. Now I'm stepping into it and away we go. How many of you know the rest is history right from there? So we find ourselves then in this place. If you're going to step in by faith, you got to step in now. You got to step in, you say, into the building, no, into God's provision. Into God's provision. Understand this. We so often we see in the natural, but God is working in the spiritual. We see the immediate, the temporal, but God is looking at the eternal. Friends, God's provision extends way beyond the obvious. Obviously, God in his kindness made a way for us to access a building. But the building in and of itself was never what the building was about. We're like, Lord, I need a building. And he's like, you don't need anything, Shane. You need my provision. He gives us a building. We saw a building. 20 years on, I can see it was never about the building. We see in the here and now, but God is like, no, he's looking at eternity. You see, we look at a building and we receive that because of his kindness. But the building of it in and of itself was never what it was about. The building was always about God's provision, through which his love and his grace and his mercy and his kindness might flow. A place for the gospel to be preached and the good news to be received. I can't help but wonder, this morning, Kid Mania is on over there. I don't know how many children are over there right now. Typically, there's about 250, 60, 70 children go through every Sunday morning. Let me ask you a question. I got a building, but let me ask you this question. Over the last 17 years that we've been here on this property, how many children do you think in Kid Mania gave their lives to Jesus over there? I saw a building. Jesus saw eternity. I saw a building. Jesus is seeing souls. I saw a building. Jesus is seeing a move of God. I saw a building. He's seeing the future leaders of the world. I saw a building. He's seeing missionaries being sent to the world. I saw a building, but Jesus sees something else. Oh, I wonder, I can't help but wonder when it comes to Empire. I wonder how many teenagers have accepted Christ at Empire in that building over the years. Come on, Reverend Dr. Jake. We've lost count. It's like, shouldn't you be counting them? He should be counting them. Because every week there's kids giving their lives to Christ. Teenagers coming to Jesus. Man, I wonder how many adults and families have come to God over the years in that building. I wonder how many pastors and leaders have been called into ministry and service and have since gone out and are doing great things in the kingdom of God from that building. I can't help but wonder. Friends, let me tell you about this gospel and the power of God for all who would receive and believe and own this good news. Everyone say, own it. See, there's a difference between people who receive the gospel and people who own the gospel. There is a difference. I think there's a receiving and then there's a believing. Because if I believe it, I've got to do something with it. If I believe it, I can't sit there. If I believe heaven and hell, how can I sit there? I can't sit there. It's one thing for me to receive it for myself, but if I believe it, I've got to get up and I've got to begin to do something with it. Thank you very much. It burns me. It makes me angry. Angry. You say angry? Angry. You say, well, you shouldn't get angry. No, I shouldn't sin in my anger. Get it right. You don't think Jesus got angry? I love that scripture. Oh, my Lord. You know the one. Goes down the temple. Says, what the disability. Then he goes out, goes down to Bunnings, and he begins to make a whip. Whip it good. You know what I'm saying? He goes and he makes a whip. He doesn't go down to the horse shop. Do I need to throw this one away and get a new one? That'd be great. Thank you. If I could have some help. Thank you. Whenever you're ready. No, that'd be good. All right. Thank you. So he doesn't just go and buy a whip. He goes and makes a whip. Because it stirs him. My father's house is meant to be a house of prayer. Friends, when you think about the gospel, when you think about what you've been saved from, when you think about your family and your friends, if you don't get angry, then I question whether you actually got saved. Because your family and your friends are on their way to hell. If they do not hear the gospel, if somebody doesn't tell them, if somebody doesn't show them, how are they ever going to hear and be able to respond to the truth of God's word? So let me tell you about the gospel and the power of God for all who would own it. Church, this is not a time or a day for us to be shrinking back in regards to the gospel that we have received. I was speaking to some family members recently who have gone to a new level of understanding. And basically in their new level of understanding, they have gone back to trying to obey the law, yada, yada, yada. And I said to them, this is not the gospel by which any of us got saved. And they said, we know. And I'm like, you're in trouble. It's the gospel. Don't change the gospel. Don't mess with the gospel. Don't step back from the gospel, but own the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And this is a time for the righteous. Are there any righteous in the house? Give me a wave. Let's hands go up now. Come on, are there any righteous in the house? Because if you're righteous, it's time for the righteous to rise up and be as bold as lions and own the good news that we first believe. Everyone say, own it. You got to own it. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. The world. How many of you know we were in the world? We were all part of the world. We're still in the world, but now we're no longer of the world, but we're still in it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. All right, so that everyone who will believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. How many of you have eternal life? Give me a wave if you have. Good, half of you, praise God. I'll ask you again, this time I'll ask in English. How many of you have eternal life? Give me a big wave if you have. I'll do it again in Arabic, but I'd be bragging if I did it in Arabic. Stop it. Give me a wave if you have eternal life. Have eternal life. Give me a wave. Don't. Right, the other hand. Use the other hand now. Give me. Well, thank you, sister. Give me a wave if you have. All right, I just want to know who has it. All right, let me ask you a question. If you have it, are you being responsible with it? You said you had it. Don't put your hand down now. Give me a wave if you still got it. Because if you got it, you got it, you got it. If God has given eternal life to you, now you're like, but I thought it was for when I died. It doesn't actually say for when you died. Does it say that? Let's read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Save it. If you're saved, you have eternal life. Not when you're dead. I need saving every day. You ask my wife. She's like, he does. He's bad. And it's like, I know. Left to myself, I go back to my old ways. I need Jesus every day. I need the gospel every day. I need the word of truth every day. I need his power every day. I need life every day. I need the light of Christ every day. I need Jesus every day. Anybody else here need Jesus every day? We're all in the same boat. We need eternal life and we need it now. So we receive the gospel, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we think, well, that's it, that's done. Good job, Jesus. We're all good now. Jesus came and laid down his life as God's provision for me. Now I'm saved. Well, hallelujah. Let's all go to heaven. How many of you know he hasn't taken us to heaven? Why hasn't he taken us to heaven? Because the work isn't complete. The work isn't finished yet. Could it be that just as when God provided us a building, it wasn't the end of the story? I look at that building. He gave us a building. It was a building. But I had no idea what God was going to do from that building. Could it be that your life is a building under the Lord? It's part of the body of Christ, and through you and in you, God is wanting to touch thousands and thousands and thousands. Now, some of you are like, oh, God can never use me like that. That's the devil speaking to you. You need to say, devil, shut up. I'm not listening to the lies anymore. I am a child of God. I was bought with a price. I have the power of God within me. I'm going to step up. I'm going to step out. I'm going to be the man or woman of God God is calling me to be. Wasn't ever the end of the story, but in many ways it was just the beginning. Could it be that when God removed the veil from our minds that the God of this world has blinded us with, that he gave us eternal life that we might go and give eternal life? You have received it that you might give it. How many of you know you are blessed to be a
blessing?
You are blessed to be a
blessing.
Are you a blessing? Are you a giver of light? Are you a giver of life? Are you a giver of hope? Are you a bringer of peace and joy? Do you take the kingdom of God everywhere you go, or is it more like a Sunday morning gig? Hallelujah. Welcome to church. I'm just asking, because we need to be Jesus here and now. We need to be his feet. We need to be his hands. We need to be his mouthpiece. He said, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send you another, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that we might make our home in you. Why do you think Jesus wants to make his home in you? So that you might go into house and garden or something? I'm not too sure. Like he's given you his Spirit, that his Spirit might rule and reign. Friends, we are to be in his likeness. We are to be the image of his Son. We are to be his hands and feet. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. So now, as those who have received the gospel by faith, we're armed and dangerous. Turn to the person beside you and say, you armed and dangerous. You are. You're more armed than you know, and you're more dangerous than you know. Why do you think the devil comes against you? Why do you think he wants to beat you up? Why do you think he comes after you so harshly? Because you're armed and dangerous to take this same gospel to others. Friends, can I ask you a question today? If God was not willing to spare even his own Son, but rather sent him into the world that the power of God might go to work in us, how much more is he now will he now send us into the world that the same power that raised Christ from the dead may be at work in and through us, so that everywhere we go, the good news might be preached, the gospel might be proclaimed, resulting in the salvation of others. Come on, give God praise if you believe it. God wants to use you. You're God's choice. You're God's man. You're God's woman. It's not to say, well, I read the book of Acts and it was like, God had these, like the Dirty Dozen there, and he sent them into the world. No. This is from generation to generation. In every generation, God is looking for men and women to raise them up. All he's looking for is volunteers. As in the people that are they're ridiculed by the world. It's true. The world doesn't understand them and the world doesn't get them, but it never has. Building 2 was God's provision for the purposes of God to be realized in the lives of thousands. And now you, as a recipient of the good news of the gospel, as important as you are as a child of God, in the perfect will of God, you have now become his provision to a lost and dying world. Yeah, on our walls, it says, do something. It isn't like as you're walking past, like, what was that about? I just did something. No. It means as you step out into the world, go and do something. Lift up the name of Jesus. Proclaim the gospel of good news. Let the power of God be released wherever it is that you might find yourself. Why would God call us to do such a thing? Because we know the good news and we know the power of God and we carry eternal life. That's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, as the worship team come, and then he told them, go into all the churches and pull down the shutters and turn off the lights so the devil doesn't know you're in there, and wait, for surely I'm coming soon. Is it? My sister's reading it. She goes, I don't think it says that. How many of you know that's not what it says? Some people live like, it's like, let's just hide away. Let's hide our light. How many of you know we're not meant to hide our light? We're meant to take our light to the world. Got to take our light to the world. Go into all the world. Hey, don't say come and sit in church. Go into all the world. We come to church corporately. We gather corporately. We encourage each other. We stir each other up. We pray for one another. We stand with each other in the highs and the lows of life. But how many of you know, then we're meant to get up and go into all the world, and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized, can I encourage you, if you're not water baptized, can I encourage you, get yourself baptized. It's like, well, I'm not too sure about that. I was christened. Just go back to Bible. Bible. I was christened too. I was christened. Church of England. Praise God. Whatever. How many of you know you start where you start, but then you go on a journey and you read the Bible for yourself. You get a revelation. If Jesus was water baptized, I'm going to get water baptized. I'm just putting that out there. So what do we want to do? It says here, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. None of us want to be condemned. We all want to be saved. So what do? We believe the word of God. We let the power of God go to work in us. Now, that means I'm going to step outside. Understand this. You are not responsible for what God does with the word you preach if you're preaching the gospel. Sometimes like, oh, well, I did that and nothing happened. Friends, can I encourage you? Leave that between God and the hearer. You are not responsible with what the hearer does with it. Sometimes like, well, I tried to reach out to my family and my family don't want to talk to me anymore. You haven't been crucified upside down, so it's a good day. All right? So we go. Paul was. Sometimes we want the gospel, we want the power without suffering. I don't read, that's not my Bible. If we suffer with Christ, we're also going to be exalted and honored with Christ. We'll share in his glory. There's a suffering that will come. Am I saying, hey, everybody, let's all believe for suffering this week? No, what I'm saying is, let's be the light of the world this week. Let's take the power of the gospel out there and share it and share it and share it and reveal it and proclaim it and preach it and show it, live it. Live it in such a way that people can actually understand the good news. I was talking to a couple of our psychiatric doctors in between the services. It was interesting. One of them said, Pastor Shane, that message that you preached 2 weeks ago, own it. He goes, in our world of psychiatric world, he goes, the first step to healing is owning your stuff. Very first step. I said, that's really interesting. His wife then came along and she wears her suddenly band from Summit to work. One of her patients asked, tell me about this. She told her about it. She says, so you get peace when it comes to church and She said, 1 week later, she came in and she was a different woman. She's just shining. She's just out there shining. Friends, can I encourage you today? There are people where you go. You don't need to now go, okay, what am I going to do this week? But as you do this week, as you go this week, go into all the world, as you go to your families, as you go to your workplace, as you go to school, as you go to the hospitals, wherever it is that you go, be the light of the world. Be the light of the world. Own it. Give it away. Speak it. Live it. Proclaim it. I was with Aaron. Aaron started with me this week as my new PA. And so Dan Palenka is obviously in Japan. Dan has got a job as a teacher in Japan, which is awesome. So we celebrate Dan and they're doing their thing. And now Aaron is coming in. And so very first day with me this week, 2 o'clock, I pick him up. Long story short, we were going to go have fun. How many of you know fun is good? This is Enjoy Church. We believe in fun. At about 11 o'clock at night, we find ourselves in a hospital on the far outside of the other side of town. We're in that hospital and I'm not going there because of a good situation. It is a bad situation. We all go through bad situations, emotionally bad, reality bad, relationally bad, bad, bad. It was bad. Would you agree it was bad? Definitely. Huh. All right. He doesn't know what to say. All right. So it was bad. But I figure if I'm going to be in a hospital, I'm not going to have my light put out. To everybody here that's part of the medical fraternity, I salute you. We all salute you. Come on, give them a hand. Give them a hand. We salute you. The work that you do, the care that you give, but personally, I do not like hospitals. The reason I don't like hospitals is because there's sick people there. I don't like sickness. I just don't. I hate it. So I'm in a hospital. We're in the waiting room. There's probably 30 or so people, thereabouts, in the emergency, whatever you call it, waiting room. I said, Aaron, blow this. Why don't we have a prayer meeting? Because everyone is sad. You know what I'm saying? You go down there. Everyone's sad. I said, why don't we just wreck this place and have a prayer meeting? I'm starting to get my juices going. You know what I'm saying? And then here's a girl over here, and I think she overheard it, and she smiled at me like, that sounds like fun. I said, what church do you go to? And she said, Saint someone or others, Augustus or something. And I'm like, yes, we're all, yes, praise God. We'll just get the, and I'm like, so I grabbed my phone because, do you know there was over 550 girls out last Thursday night around Victoria? 550 girls all over the place. I grabbed my phone and I thought, we're on a roll here, aren't we? Pray. I killed it. Come back to life in Jesus. All right, that didn't work. All right. So I'm showing the girl from St. Augustine's or wherever she's from. The women's ministry meeting, the Bloom meeting, was unbelievable. She's like, this is killing me, praise God. And it's, and I'm showing her the photos, and she's like, wow, that's unbelievable. And there's another family there, and the woman from the other family is like, oh. And I'm like, hey, you want to look at my photos? No, can I show you my photo? And so this is what's going on. So next minute, this girl, she's going to check us out. This whole family on the way out, they're going to check us out. But I figure, I'm not done yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm not done. So I get up. This lady comes out. She goes, Shane, if you want to come in now. I'm like, I think I'd like to. So I stand up and I walk across. I turn around and I say, hey, everybody, I'll be back soon. All right, I'll be coming back. And then now everyone's laughing and the nurses are like, who is that guy? And so I go inside and I'm in there doing what I had to do. But then the police asked me to step outside. So I stepped outside. And so I step back out. But as I step out, if I figure I'm going to be light, I'm going to be the light. I'm not going to crawl around like, oh, is it okay if I turn on my little lighter here? No, if I'm going to... So I step back out and say, hey, what are we doing now? All right. So then we get back into it. We start talking to people. And there's a couple over here. This young lady got a split eye because she was at the netball. And so she got a footballer boyfriend and they're down. I just want to start talking to them. I'm talking to them. Friends, can I encourage you? Do not be quiet. Let your light shine. Wherever you be, wherever you go, turn on your light. Let the salt of the earth be salty. How many of you know you are the salt? You are the salt. There should be a flavor when you walk in the room. There should be a light when you come into the room. There should be peace and there should be joy. There should be love. There should be the presence of God. When you walk into the room, something's going to change. I must admit, on the other night, Thursday night, I'm watching the nurses and they're like, who is this guy? I reckon I could get a job there as a chaplain, praise God. I might see if I can get a part-time job over there. It could be fun. I would love it. I'd wreck the atmosphere because you know what the atmosphere is like at a hospital? And you never make eye contact with anybody. Even if they're looking... Like, hey! Anyway, that's enough. Be the salt of the world. Be the light of Christ. Take the power of the gospel everywhere you go. You'll be ridiculed. Some people won't like you for it. Where are the worship team? Oh, they're here. Where are the singers? Do we have singers or are they all gone? They're coming. Praise God. I feel like worshiping God. I feel like worshiping God. It's very important that we are not quiet. You have a power. You have eternal life. If you are quiet, how will your neighbor get saved? If you are quiet, how will your family members get saved? If you are quiet, how is God going to move? He only has one plan, and that's the church. The church is the gateway of heaven. The church is where it all happens. Why don't we stand to our feet? You good? I want to be used by God. You know, I love being in here and I love doing this, but I've got to tell you, for me, there's way more of a buzz in that hospital. That's where the people who don't know Jesus are. When we went to the prison at Christmas time, and many, we've got people here still go to the prisons every week. But when I went to the prison at Christmas time, I loved that. Just talking with broken people, broken dreams, broken hearts. People in the hospital, brokenness. Maybe in your street, brokenness. At the supermarket you go to, brokenness. How will anything change if we be quiet? How will they receive the light of God if we've got our wick turned right down? How will they receive the saltiness and the flavor of the kingdom of heaven if we're not coming and bringing the life of God?